97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Did you sexually assault a woman in Monterey, California?
I have, as far as the media is concerned, I'll keep this very simple. The matter was fully investigated, and I was completely cleared, and that's probably legal. Thank you very much.
Pete Hegseth there. Earlier on Capitol Hill, I guess this must have happened yesterday afternoon when he was down there meeting with the senators, but now the light of the world has moved from Matt Gaetz onto Pete Hegseth.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Welcome to the jungle. And we've got Jim Carafano on the phone. How are you, my friend?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. We've caught you not on an airplane. That's fantastic.
It's shockingly, unbelievably true, actually. Oh, I did just get off one, so there.
Did you really? Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Yeah, I was in Moldova, which is a really interesting country.
What's the reaction overseas that you're hearing from some of these Trump picks?
There's a lot of shock overseas, mostly because they consume an enormous amount of American liberal media. And so in many, many places, people just assume Harris is going to win. And then they were shocked to wake up and discover that Trump had won. And they really don't understand American politics very well, and people keep looking at individuals like, oh, this person or that person, and are missing the bigger picture in that what Trump is doing is he is picking a cabinet that reflects the diversity of the coalition that elected him, and so it's very inclusive, and that rather than looking at individual picks, you should be looking at the coherence of the whole to understand how the American political scene shifted and what the modern conservative movement and Republican Party look like. And I think people just don't understand that.
Is there, if you listen to the left on this, there's concern about Pete Hegseth as the choice for Secretary of Defense. Do you have any thoughts on that? Have you heard any feedback from it inside the circles?
Well, it's all, very predictable about what they're complaining about. I mean, there's kind of two packages here. One was the sexual assault allegation, and the other as well, he just doesn't have the experience. I think the sexual assault allegation was, pretty much a drive-by shooting. I don't think it's very credible.
Yeah.
Doesn't really reflect the Pete Hegseth I know. I don't think that the Brent Kavanaugh attack is going to work. So I think we can push that to the aside. More people were infuriated by the tattoo on his chest than they were about the thing. So, and that's of course going nowhere. The notion that somehow he's a white supremacist or he has gang tattoos or something, it's just nonsense. Look, what's true is he does not have a lot of experience in working the Hill, which is a very important part of running DOD and running the building. I get that. But you can bring people in to do that. And Pete knows that. I think we're actually going to have a very strong DOD management team. What he brings to the table, which is not to be discounted, is he is literally the poster child for selfless service and patriotism. He is literally the walking ad for virtuous, masculine, not that there's anything wrong with having women in the military or anything, but the idea of and strong men and women and how you serve your country. And we need that. And what's pathetic is that you had a former four-star general sitting in the office in the Pentagon who should have been the paragon of what it means to serve in the military, support our men and women, get them what they need. And this guy will be 1,000 times better as a symbol of that. And he is a smart, nobody's ever said Pete Hegseth isn't smart and he isn't sharp and he can't make decisions. So I don't agree that this is a bad pick.
Switching gears a little bit, Jim, I don't think we've had a chance to talk to you since Biden gave Ukraine the okay to use the United States long-range missiles against Russia. And now, of course, Russia has used its own missiles against Ukraine. What do you make of this whole situation and the timing of when Biden gave Ukraine the okay?
Well, clearly the Biden okay was politics. Right, there, nothing changed on the battlefield that made it okay. He didn't want to shoot ATACMS beforehand and have it become an issue that might hurt Harris in the campaign. So shame on Biden for making decisions based on American domestic politics rather than on what's best for foreign policy American nations. But you know what? Biden's consistent. He's always put his politics ahead of the country for 4 years, so we shouldn't be surprised. I have a little different view than a lot of my folks. I don't think that, one, it's escalatory. And the other thing is, I don't think this is necessarily something a Trump administration ought to have a problem with. Trump wants Ukraine to be in the strongest position as possible when he comes into office, because that's what's going to drive a deal. And conversely, Putin is not an idiot. He knows the game's up. And at some point, he's going to have to come to the table. And he wants to be in the strongest position as possible. So what we're seeing on both sides now, both on the Russians and the Ukrainians, is not this escalatory race to World War III. It's posturing to be in the strongest position as possible. So when Donald Trump shows up, which they both know he's going to do, and he said it's game over, which they both know they're going to say, they want to be to say, well, I have a stronger hand to negotiate with. That's what's going on.
That's why I love having you on here, because I've heard nobody else give that point of view on this. I everybody's like, well, they're pushing us to World War III. What's Putin going to do?
That's my take.
I love that viewpoint, Jim. I had not considered that.
Well, all you have to do is spend, a couple of thousand hours on airplanes flying around the world and talking to a couple of, tens of thousands of people, and maybe your perspective is a little different. I don't know.
What was the missile that Putin fired back? It wasn't an ICBM. It was described as something else, and he said it was something new that couldn't be shot down. What's he talking about?
Well, it's actually something very similar to something I worked on when I was in the military. It's an intermediate-range ballistic missile, so which means it has a ballistic trajectory. It's going to fly into space and then come back down. So it's very more difficult to shoot down with traditional air defense and missile defense system. That's true. It's kind of an experimental thing, and the Russians don't have a lot of them. It has a big conventional payload, but okay, so do a lot of things. And the other thing is they don't really have that many of them. And what are they shooting at? They're shooting at civilian targets. These are like the V2s of World War II. They're terror weapons. They're not changing the calculus on the battlefield. And the fact that he's shooting a conventional, just shows he's not going to go nuclear. He might, but and that's the other thing. People keep talking about the change in nuclear doctrine, which actually is just going back to an old Russian doctrine that was already there, and actually isn't really that much different between the American and the French or the British doctrine. So the notion that somehow, and Putin loves this, right? He loves to think he's scaring people. And, I don't blame people for being scared, because nuclear weapons, wars are a real serious thing. But the doctrine itself is actually a nothing burger.
Interesting. Information we needed to hear today. Jim, thank you. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Get more at 971talk.com.